flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is a busy sports day in these parts. It's Hockey Day, Minnesota. We had Twins Fest. The Timberwolves are home. The Golden Gopher Men are home today. We've got, of course, closing out Hockey Day, Minnesota. The Wild at home. Jess Myers will join us a little bit later on. So a ton going on the local sports scene. By the way, the Timberwolves, big blowout winners today at Target Center over the Denver Nuggets. Tomorrow, it is Championship Sunday in the NFL. The AFC champion and NFC champions will be crowned. By the way, final round of the Farmers Insurance Open at Torrey Pines near San Diego. And Harris English is your leader as they kind of get down the stretch. And the reason they play the final round on a Saturday is because that opens the door for Championship Sunday in the NFL. You really can't take on the NFL on Championship Sunday or Super Bowl Sunday head-to-head. You got to get out of the way, and that's what they're doing at the Farmers Insurance Open. And by the way, it is on CBS, and Jim Nance will be busy tomorrow in Kansas City with the Bills and the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game. By the way, Harris English just made the turn for home. He is at 8-under par. Sam Stevens, Andrew Novak sit one back. Sungjae Im, 3 off the lead at the Farmers Insurance Open. And then getting on to football tomorrow after a big day of Twins Fest, and by the way, a great job. And we can tell you, if you missed any of Twins Fest today, you will be able to find it online at WCCRadio.com or wherever you enjoy your favorite podcasts, the free Odyssey app, etc. So, if you missed any of Twins Fest, tons of great interviews between 11 and 5 today, so be on the lookout for that. Now, the early game, 2 o'clock, Commanders-Eagles. And I would have to say, for the longest period of time, my least favorite team in the NFL had to be the Washington football team under the ownership of Daniel Snyder. He was really, really bad news, to the point where his fellow owners forced him out and forced him to sell the club. And for that group to do that, you've got to be really, really bad news. So they got him out, and now they have new ownership and a new direction, and they've got a pretty good football team. They had a very nice regular season. They've had a good run in the playoffs, but they have a tall order tomorrow in the early game when they go into Philly and take on the Eagles. Eagles favored by 6 at home in that game, but you could argue of all the young quarterbacks this year in the NFL and all the rookie quarterbacks, let's say first, second, third year guys, the real young guys, has anybody been better than Jaden Daniels for the Washington Commanders? Just absolutely superb this year at quarterback for the Commanders. He's just been absolutely outstanding this season. Now, my only worry about Daniels, and I've said this now for weeks, is that he runs a lot and he exposes himself a lot on the run to big hits and could just get absolutely hammered at some point. So far, he's been able to avoid that. I give the Commanders an even shot of winning this football game. Lindsey Brown is their producer. In this game tomorrow, Commanders-Eagles, early game NFC Championship game in Philly, I give the Commanders a chance.
Heck yeah you do, Steve. Heck yeah you do. Why not go with the young team that really doesn't know what to be afraid of? And I'm right there with you in riding the coattails that is the goodwill towards that organization. Because if anything, this kind of shows that when you get those owners that aren't the greatest of people or aren't running the organization the right way, that if you just change direction, look at what is possible. And I will push back a little bit on the quarterbacks this year. We were saying the same thing about CJ Stroud. We were saying the same thing 2 years prior. We're just seeing some of these organizations set up their new guys really well. And I think that's exactly what they've done under Dan Quinn. And then is it the Kingsbury that is his offensive coordinator? He's playing himself into probably a head coaching job. Maybe not this cycle, but the next.
Yeah, it really has been extraordinary what they've been able to do. They needed a stadium, and this run under new ownership and the fact that they got to the NFC Championship game certainly opens the door for them to potentially do something with the RFK Stadium site, because that's now back in play. They want to be back in D.C. They're out in Landover. FedEx Field, or whatever it's called these days, has seen better days. A lot of people consider it the worst facility in the NFL right now, now that the Raiders have departed Oakland and now call Las Vegas home. That was probably the biggest dump. But there is no doubt that their facility in suburban Washington and Landover, Maryland. So the stadium situation there. But playing in Philly, the Eagles, very difficult place to play. And oh, by the way, the Eagles can run the football game, and the Saquon Barkley signing, brilliant offseason move, and it shows the value of being able to run the football, Lindsay. I mean, there is proof, because the Eagles at the end of last year were terrible. It was kind of like, is the coach going to lose his job, or are there going to be wholesale changes in Philly? And they get Barkley, and all of a sudden, they're at home for the title game.
Yeah, they look like geniuses, and not just geniuses in the way that they've been able to draft, because I think that's where Howie Roseman really brings his flowers home and what they've been able to acquire. They took a big chance. Two drafts go on Jalen Carter. He's been a huge disruptor up front. And then let's not forget, Steven, that secondary, as you're mentioning, Jaden Daniels and what he's going to be facing. They have a lot of young talent in that secondary with the Cooper DeJean, that linebacker that went up and tackled Derrick Henry in the open field a few weeks ago. And I think they dedicated another first or second round pick to a cornerback there as well. And so they're playing in Philly. There are lots of people lining up outside of the Lincoln Center. I saw it on social media. They're dumping their holy water on the ground outside to try to get the best vibes possible. But there is a little bit of inexperience. I know that the Eagles have been to the Super Bowl recently. They lost that one. They've won one in the last 10 years. But who do you think on that Eagles squad besides Saquon Barkley has the biggest hand in this victory? Because I like to say it's Jalen Hurts, but I think it has to be somebody on that defense.
Yeah, there's no doubt the Eagles' defense is going to have to play very well because of the level Daniels is playing at. That's why I give the Commanders a shot in this one. Eagles 6 at home, and that number seems about right, but it would not surprise me if the Washington Commanders represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. I really look forward to that game tomorrow, and honestly, I don't want the Eagles to win. If I do have a rooting interest, I want the Washington football team to win that game and go to the Super Bowl. I think it would be a great story for a once very proud franchise that went through some very difficult times because of one of the worst owners in the history of sports at any level. I mean, you talk Donald Sterling, the Clippers once upon a time. I mean, there have been some terrible owners over the years. And there's no doubt Daniel Snyder is in that hall of shame, if you will. So good for the Commanders and good for their fans to finally have this. It is a feel-good story, in my opinion.
And all-time crash-out potential for the city of Philadelphia. I would love nothing more than for them this week in particular to end in that type of agony. I would love it.
Well, and there have been videos, and we're not going to go too far into the weeds.
There have been videos.
On the latest video, because it is despicable. And the guy ended up losing his job, and I think you know the video I'm talking about.
I don't.
Eagles-Packers game. This Eagles fan was all over a woman who was wearing her Green Bay garb at Philly, which, you know, I don't highly recommend wearing your colors into the link, but but she did. And the video went viral. When you get a moment, we couldn't put it on the air. We can't tell you what he said or what he did, but it was despicable. And Viking fans, when they were in Philly, the full beers, we're talking full cans of beer hurled at Viking fans. I just think this reputation that they're tough and they have a jail, and they used to have a jail at the vet, and they have a jail at the link, and so on and so forth, and it's really rowdy. Give me a break. It's a sporting event.
I've just
had it with Philly fans.
Logic is not going to be in abundance in that city. I got to think the pregame started 2 hours ago.
Oh, for sure. But it still doesn't give you the right to verbally or physically assault the opposing fans.
Absolutely
in
not.
Your own stadium.
When I get drunk, I just get cry and tell my friends how much I love them. Like, let's bring that energy. Let's be grateful for the moment that we're in, right? It's January. Things aren't that bad yet. And we just got to enjoy the memes.
So you're one of those that cries.
Absolutely, I cry every time. There's either something really bugging me or there's something I really need to get off my chest because it's so positive. And so the more I stay on the positive side, the better. But I don't really drink that much anymore, and there's probably a reason.
Yeah, probably a good thing. And then the other game, Bills-Chiefs, we want to get into that before we go to a break. Oh, yeah. And then talk about another big win for the Golden Gophers and talk a little hockey. Anyway, Bills-Chiefs, Kansas City favored by 2. Here's another one. With all due respect to Patrick Mahomes and the run they've been on, two-time defending Super Bowl champions, Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, everybody else in that organization, Travis Kelce, et cetera, et cetera. But I want the Bills to get it done.
Yes!
And get to the Super Bowl. It's very rare on a championship Sunday that I really care who wins. I want the Commanders and Bills.
Yeah, I want that too. I want a Bad Blood remix potential music video because I'm pretty sure Haley Steinfeld wasn't Taylor Swift's Bad Blood music video years ago, but this would be a different type of rivalry. And I'm sick of Kansas City, although a three-peat would be kind of cool to see, Steve, just to say that we were there. But like Josh Allen's been playing so well. That team has been through so much. It just feels like it's time.
Well, and there's been this narrative that Kansas City gets all the calls, they get all the breaks, etc. They are at home. They have found a way to be the number one seed, earned home field advantage in the AFC playoffs. But another game where I feel like the Bills have a really good shot to knock off the champs at Arrowhead and go to the Super Bowl. And it would be a rematch of the Super Bowl played in the Metrodome all those years ago. The Washington team and the Buffalo team going at it. So
was that in the 90s?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was like during the Three
Metrodome.
Falls of Buffalo, right? That was during that 30 for 30 episode?
It was so long ago. This will give you some perspective. Frank Sinatra, the chairman of the board, was alive and in town and did a concert right before the Super Bowl at Met Center in Bloomington.
What?
And that was the only time in my life my wife and I saw Frank Sinatra's Super Bowl weekend at the Met Center in Bloomington. That was Washington-Buffalo Super Bowl weekend here in the Twin Cities. I kid you not.
And he was in good form, too, right? Because I know that he was a guy that performed later in his life. And, you know, sometimes that's what keeps you upright sometimes.
He was Frank.
Okay.
He had teleprompters to help him with the lyrics, but it's still the chairman of the board. Anyway, I want the Bills. I want the Commanders tomorrow. Quick break. Jazz Myers coming up in a moment.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
As I mentioned, a gigantic sports day today. The Wild Hockey Day tonight at home at the Xcel Energy Center. We'll get into that real quickly. The Timberwolves, they got a win over Denver at Target Center. Gopher men beat number 15 Oregon at the Barn today, 77-69. All of a sudden, the Golden Gopher men are on a major roll, and we'll have more on that before we say goodbye. Here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Yes, it is Hockey Day in Minnesota. It'll be the Wild and the Flames in St. Paul coming up very shortly. Jez Meyer is there to cover it for the Pioneer Press. Jez, good to visit with you.
Hey, happy Hockey Day, Steve. If you're one of those who celebrates, and if you live in this state, how can you not, right?
Yeah, for sure. There's been a ton of action out at Jack P. They were at Valley Fair, all set up. We definitely go indoors for the Wild game tonight against the Calgary Flames. And the Wild, after a great win in Colorado over the Avalanche on Monday in the matinee, they laid an egg against Utah on Thursday night. Now an opportunity to bounce back with the Flames tonight.
The bad news is, for some reason, this team has played 500 hockey at home. The good news is, after tonight, they play Calgary. They got their next five on the road, which is where they seem to really thrive as a hockey team. But, yeah, you're absolutely right. That game Thursday night was maybe one of the more lifeless games they've played this year. And the weird part about that is, you know, the big story was they got Kirill Kaprizov back. They got Jared Spurgeon back after those guys had been out due to injury for a long time. You know, you're expecting kind of a boost from that, and it was just one of those kind of flat games. They lose 4-0. So Calgary in town tonight. Now, the Minnesota Wild have a fantastic record on Hockey Day Minnesota, something like 14-3-1, I want to say, in previous hockey days. So maybe that'll give them a little boost, and John Hines talked about that today, that there's maybe almost kind of like a feeling in the air that that Hockey Day is something kind of special, even if it's a pretty traditional, normal home game for them at Xcel Energy Center here.
Now, I'm a little bit surprised they're starting so early tonight on Hockey Day.
When I am the czar of all things hockey, Saturday games, college and pro, will start at 4 o'clock, no later, and 2 o'clock would be better. So I'm absolutely fine with it. You know, get us out of here a little earlier. If you own a bar on West 7th Street, you know, give people a little extra hour afterwards, you know, whatever you need to do. I like the earlier start. And with a guy facing a Saturday night newspaper deadline on the line, yeah, I don't mind that at all.
Well, here's the problem, though. I get done at 6, and then I want to grab a bite to eat. I was hoping to settle in at 7 for the game tonight, or even 8. I know sometimes these Hockey Day games have started as late as 8 o'clock.
That's right, they have. And, you know, I'm not a fan of that one at all. I cover enough games out in Utah and L.A. and Anaheim and wherever else where you're starting at 9, 9:30 p.m., whatever it is. So the earlier the better for me, especially on a Saturday, I say.
All right, Jess, let's get into the injury situation. This has been a reoccurring theme for weeks. Where do we stand right now in the health of this club going into the game with Calgary?
Waiting for Jonas Brodin to come back. You know, he's been out for a couple weeks now after took a lower body injury and a win over St. Louis. We're waiting for Marcus Johansson to come back. He took that elbow to the head from Connor McDavid. He's got an upper body injury, you know, and they don't ever get very specific, but anybody who's got eyes can see that's a concussion because he got elbowed right in the head by, you know, one of the premier skill players in the NHL. Still a very controversial play, and, you know, some of the Wild players have used a little bit harsher language than that for that play. So those are the two big names that we're waiting on. I mentioned Kaprizov and Spurgeon coming back, being healthy. Well, you know, it's almost like whack-a-mole with this team, Steve, because we dealt with all the injuries. Now they're getting a little healthier. Now you've got some concerns about goaltending because Philippe Gustafson just has not played up to his standards or up to what they expect from him in the last couple games. And John Hines has addressed that a little bit. You know, he's not putting any of the struggles squarely on the shoulders of his goaltender, saying we got to play better in front of him, we got to cover up in front of the net some more. But it's worth noting that Marc-Andre Fleury is going to get the start third time in the last four games tonight, the old wily 40-year-old veteran with three Stanley Cups to his credit. And, man, are they lucky to have him as an asset and as a backup and as a first option in times like this where goaltending has got maybe some question marks surrounding it.
Yeah, Jess, it's way too early to panic about Gus and where he stands right now. But it was a strong suit early in the year, and we all know at any level, without solid goaltending, you don't have a chance.
I've used this line before, but it's one of my favorites in all of hockey, where they say goaltending is 90% of the equation unless you don't have it, and then goaltending becomes 100% of the equation. Because, you're absolutely right. If you don't have confidence in your goaltender, that really gets into the head of the entire team. It affects what you can do defensively. It affects, the kind of rushes that your forwards might make sometimes. And, you know, when you talk to Wild players and you talk to the coach and people about this, they say this is just kind of typical of the ups and downs and the ebbs and flows of an 82-game season. Stretches where things don't seem like they normally are. You're going to have stretches where guys maybe play better than you expect them to as well. And we've seen a lot of that this year. So the fact that the Wild have such a good record on the road and have built up this kind of cushion of points, I checked the numbers today. They're still at like a 95% chance of making the playoffs. So they're still in very good shape. It's certainly not any time to panic, especially in the middle of January.
And as you pointed out, they go on the road. They have a back-to-back. They'll be in Chicago with the Blackhawks tomorrow night, 6 o'clock start. And then two original six clubs back-to-back during the week, Wednesday in Toronto, Thursday in Montreal. And that's always a big deal. I don't think anybody understands how big a deal the NHL is in Toronto or Montreal.
I'm telling you, I'm making my first ever trip to see games in those two buildings. I'll be covering the Wild on the road for the Pioneer Press this week, going to Toronto on Wednesday and then Montreal, another back-to-back, of course, on Thursday. And, man, that's kind of pure hockey. You know, Toronto is Canada's version of New York City. There's a ton of media exposure on the Maple Leafs, ton of pressure on that team all the time. And then, you know, the Canadiens, kind of the original with 24 Stanley Cups, and, you know, everybody there speaks French and just kind of a whole different world. So, that should be a fun stretch here. But, yeah, you're right. Chicago tomorrow, Toronto Wednesday, Montreal Thursday, then they go to Ottawa, then they go to Boston before they have two more home games prior to the Four Nations break. So this is kind of an important stretch right now for this team that really needs to maybe get its confidence and get its swagger back a little bit.
All right, Jess, one more. Golden Gopher hockey, a shocking loss to Michigan State, giving up 9 goals.
A Hockey Day Minnesota last night, they had an alumni game. It was Gophers alumni versus alumni of, St. Cloud, Mankato, Duluth, North Dakota, some other colleges. And it was kind of a fun thing. The three Broughton brothers, Paul, Aaron, and Neil, came out, and they were the honorary coaches for the Gopher team at this alumni game. Nice picture of the three of them standing together all in their Gopher gear. And I put this on Twitter last night. I said that was easily the best thing that happened to Gopher hockey last night, and it wasn't even close. Yeah, what a rough way to end that one. You know, good game through about half of it. It was 2-2. The Gophers were kind of hanging tough with a very good Michigan State team, and things just went off the rails from there. They wind up giving up 9 goals. Very uncharacteristic for a team that's very deep on defense and has had pretty good goaltending all season. So important to see if the Gophers can bounce back tonight against the Michigan State team that, if Michigan State wins tonight, they're going to run away and hide with the Big Ten title, which, it's weird to think about that basically being over by the end of January, but that could happen if things go badly tonight.
Well, and Jets, the goal now is just get the split, get out of town, and come home, take on the Badgers.
Absolutely. You know, you've got that one looming too. You know, and it's a weird situation in the Big Ten because if you win the regular season title, you get that bye week, the first week of the playoffs. Bob Motzko said today he hates the bye week. He hates, winning a title and then having to sit around for a week and waiting to see who you play in a one-game playoff. So he said, I'd love to win the league title, but I don't want to deal with the bye week again. So he may get his wish on the second one if things go badly in East Lansing tonight.
Jeff, it's always good to visit with you. Thanks.
Good to talk to you, Steve. Happy Hockey Day.
There he is, Jess Myers of the Pioneer Press, joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. By the way, the Golden Gopher women, they swept Bemidji State. They beat the Beavers at Ritter 4-1 on Friday. And then today in Shakopee, they played an early game at Hockey Day Minnesota and won 3-1. Quick break. We'll come back. We'll have an update on the weather. We'll talk a big Timberwolves win. They blew out Denver today, and the Golden Gopher men are on fire. They beat number 15 Oregon at the barn today. We'll have all of that in a moment. Huge sports day. We had Twins Fest at Target Field, live coverage between 11 and 5. We invite you to go online, WCCRadio.com, hear all the great interviews, and you can go to the Odyssey app, etc. Once again, coverage of Twins Fest today between 11 and 5. And if you missed any of that, by all means, go check it out in podcast form. And we had a lot of great interviews this week leading up to Twins Fest as well. So if you're getting ready for pitchers and catchers to report to spring training, by all means, feed your Twins fix at the website, WCCRadio.com. One other thing I did today is I went to the Twins site and signed up to get more info when available on Twins.tv. That was announced that there'll be an app. And for $99 this season, you'll be able to watch Twins games on television here in the upper Midwest. And I think it's $19.99 a month. And what I did is I just put in my info, my name, my email, my phone number, etc. And then they'll let me know how to sign up. So that was kind of cool today. And I think that's a bargain. You can get the games for free all season long here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And if you want to watch, there's going to be a great option for Twins fans everywhere on that front. How about on Hockey Day, Minnesota, two local teams winning big at home today on the hardwood. The Timberwolves first at Target Center blew out the Denver Nuggets today. Just absolutely no con. 10 minutes now in front of 6 here at News Talk, 830 WCCO. A little bit later than normal. We typically visit with him, sports schedules permitting, at 4:10 on Saturdays. But we had Twins Fest coverage today, so Steve Kearney joins us, stevekearneyoutdoors.com. And Steve, warming up a little bit, how's the bite?
Actually, we are very far from normal, Steve. That was a very good thing you said there. But yeah, it's kind of waiting for this front to go through. It's, you know, we've been plagued up here in the north and the northwest with these fronts coming through every 2 or 3 days, these clippers. And it really does shut the fish down, but I'm waiting for it to kind of blow through tonight. Going to stabilize a little bit tomorrow. And, boy, this next week looks really good, especially midweek to the end of the week. It's going to be stable in the 30s, you know, no surprises. So, you know, fishing will come around. It's just going to take a couple days.
All right, Steve, one of the things we've known, finally good ice conditions. Let's talk about maneuvering on the ice, towing options for portables, the pullover style ice shacks, because you've always liked to be mobile. I know some of those, like the big, you kind of set them in, and the ice castle, so to speak, but you like to stay portable and mobile.
Yeah, you know, this year I actually broke down and bought some tow hitches for my portables. I have like 3 different brands of portables. Instead of pulling them with a rope like I've done for 40 years, not a really great idea, because sometimes going downhill, you know, your portable gets ahead of your snowmobile. It can be a little dicey. So I actually got, you know, the factory hitches for all of my houses now, and now I can really cruise 20, 30 miles an hour in the snowmobile or the ATV. It's much more stable. It's a little bit of work to attach them and, you know, set them up and everything. But, man, I'm really impressed. I mean, it's much safer. You can go a little bit faster, and I highly recommend get rid of the ropes and go to those tow hitches, especially by the factory.
Steve Kearney joining us, stevekearneyoutdoors.com. And once again, waiting for a mild kind of calm pattern, and you mentioned that we're going to see that. What's the approach? Where do you expect the fish to be when things calm down and kind of smooth out here in the coming week or so?
You know, Steve, it's been a really bizarre winter. I'm still catching fish in 5 feet of water, which is really kind of unheard of at this time of the winter. It's been going for like 2 months, and it doesn't matter what lake I'm on. They're all very, very shallow. usually by now they tend to move out into the deeper basins, 20 to 30, 40 feet of water, feeding on insects, but they're not. They're shallow, and it's just weird. You can see different species come through underneath your hole, you know, duckfish and crappies and walleyes and northern pike, and it's like everything is in the green weeds. And, you know, I've talked to a few of my cronies, and we're all thinking the same thing. We still have legitimate green weed growing and, you know, putting out oxygen and holding bait fish, which is very, very unusual for the end of January. But I'm finding, you know, a lot of my guide buddies are in 6 to 9 feet of water, not in 20 to 30, and they're killing fish. So for some reason, and I think it's because of the oxygen, you know, in those green weeds that are still alive, that those fish are shallow. So that seems to be the pattern, really, no matter where you go.
All right, Steve. Well, once again, the weather's going to kind of mellow out this week. 30 tomorrow here in the cities, 38 Monday, into the low 40s on Tuesday, but quiet. First event that might bring in some snow and maybe change things come Saturday, but that's only a 30% chance of snow. So once again, pretty mild, pretty calm week. Should be good.
Yeah, it will be. And, it, you know, it's very predictable, Steve. When you get 2 or 3 days of stable weather, rising temperatures, the fishing is always really, really good. And I do hope we get some snow. We really need it. We have only maybe 2 inches up in the North Country, Northwest. I mean, we really need it. The lakes are low. Nobody's snowmobiling. Everybody's crying. We need snow. So bring it on.
All right, Steve, always good to visit with you. And we'll do it again at our normal time next Saturday, following the news and weather at 4.
Hey, sounds great. Have a great day.
All right, there he is, Steve Kearney, stevekearneyoutdoors.com. Weather-wise, once again, tonight, clear, low near 7. Sunday, sunny and 30. Monday, sunny, 38. 41 Tuesday, 30 Wednesday, 35 Thursday, and then on Friday, 38. One thing you do know, the car wash is going to be really, really busy in your neighborhood. First mention of snow comes Saturday at about a 30% chance. A couple of minutes. I want to get back to golf. Final round of the Farmers Insurance Open at Torrey Pines in San Diego. Harris English leads Sam Stevens and Andrew Novak. Harris English, a one-shot lead. He's on 16. Sam Stevens done at 7 under par. Andrew Novak playing alongside English at minus 6. And, of course, they're playing the final round today, with the NFL and Championship Sunday coming up tomorrow. The early game, Commanders-Eagles, that'll be a 2 o'clock start, and that game will be on Fox. And then the nightcap starting at 5:30 our time from Kansas City, the Bills and the Chiefs, and KC favored by 2 in that game. All right, Lindsay, we need your predictions. I've already said who I want to win. I want the Commanders and Bills in the Super Bowl.
Oh my gosh. I think I'm probably going to split the ticket of one that I want and one that's more realistic. And so what I'm going to do is, unfortunately, I think Josh Allen's going to be one of the historical almost has-beens. I think the Chiefs get it done. But I'm going to pick the Commanders in Philly. I love that pick. And I love that for Jaden Daniels to be the greatest rookie of all time until the next one comes next year.
Yeah, he has been really good, though. And the reason I want to tip my cap, he is one of the huge reasons I didn't win the WCCR Radio Fantasy Football League. I was runner-up this year. Forget the fact that I sat T. Higgins on the final weekend like an idiot, and it cost me 31 points. But Jaden Daniels is the single biggest reason I didn't win at all this year.
That's brutal. So, that's a brutal thing to find out, and that's a brutal thing to experience, my friend. Just a few more seconds of that pain. Football's almost done.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Commanders, Eagles early. I like the Commanders. Bills, Chiefs, why not? Buffalo in the Super Bowl. A chance to exercise the demons, if you will. All right, we got to run. News coming up.